Good morning. Thank you for listening and letting us be a part of your day. I've got Sheriff Chip Simmons here in the studio. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Doing well. We've had this week or over the weekend officer-involved shooting. The Facebook, it's a lot of pieces to that story, so help walk us through it.
Well, so typically, when we have an officer-involved shooting, we have an outside agency investigate, like Florida Department of Law Enforcement in this case. So we usually don't put as much out as we normally would, but it was confusing, so I've been kind of telling people how it went. And basically, late on Saturday night, we had a call that a cab driver had been shot at. How it goes is the cab driver drops an individual off around a Family Dollar. He refuses to pay, gets out, and just starts walking away. But a cab driver is following him, presumably to call law enforcement or try to get his money back. As the cab passes him by, he pulls out a gun and fires three times at the cab, shooting out the back window while shooting at the cab driver. So he put the information to us, really. And then we were in the area with Pensacola police officers, circulating. We find someone that fits the description, stop him, have a brief conversation with him. And then as we're trying to say, hey, let me see what you got going here, because he kept trying to get into his pockets, he takes off running. And while he takes off running, he turns with a gun in his hand towards the deputies, and they fire at him, striking him. We did recover the gun, and then we matched that gun, the ballistics of that gun, to the shell casings that we found from the cab driver shooting, or the attempted shooting of the cab driver, and they matched. So we ended up charging him with the assault, aggravated assault on law enforcement officers, obviously for running, and then we also charged him with the aggravated assault on the cab driver as well.
Wow. Wow, I know, and it's just amazing. Guns are everywhere.
That's true. Here's what I think when I hear a story and I see it, that we have young men and women out there that get a call to help, and deputies I'm talking about, they get a call that there's a guy that could potentially have a gun, has fired this gun. It's dark, it's midnight, you're out on foot, and you get out with an individual, and you have no idea what he's what he's carrying, what his intent is, anything else, and yet they still do the job. And I'm just super proud of the deputies for the bravery that they have. I obviously wish that we wouldn't have to fire around at anybody, to do the job, or to use force in any manner to do the job. But that's not realistic, and that's just not the case. But again, we still have people that are willing to do the job, which still amazes me.
It is. In talking to deputies, they just, when they knock on a door, when they stop a car, none of them are, anything can happen at any of those times.
Right.
It's just in that, realizing that and knowing the pressure they're under, it's in those situations, it's not an easy thing to do.
Well, some people ask questions. I get calls, not very often, but I get calls, hey, someone stopped a friend of mine and they wouldn't let him out of the car on a traffic stop. Well, it's because they don't know. They're always by themselves. We don't ride tandem. We're not like, I think New York City has, two people in a car. We don't have two people in a car. So almost every traffic stop that we make, and really every call that we go into, initially, you're by yourself.
Right.
There are times when you know that we dispatch more than one person, but you usually get there, the first deputy gets there is by themselves for the first couple of seconds, maybe even a couple of minutes. And so, if you stop a car and a car full of people, you got to protect yourself. You can't just have anyone wandering around getting behind it. We've all seen these YouTube videos where officers are attacked by people that are in, that leave a police car, and then they come back around and that sort of thing.
Right, right. And you look at we think of this was happening, in a better populated area, but you think of, District 5 going, in the north part of the county.
Right.
At times on the beach.
Especially in wintertime.
Right, wintertime.
There's like two or three deputies there the whole night.
And one gets tied up and you're by yourself. So, it's a lot involved. Talking about law enforcement, too, the real-time crime center is up and moving. How's it going?
Up and moving. We have, it's still a work in progress. Right. It's up and running, but we are, some of our deputies are now going out to businesses like along 29 and saying, hey, we noticed you have cameras that are facing the roadway. Would you be interested in allowing us to feed the feed for your cameras that are facing the roadways? which was it right away?
Right.
And B, at least let us know that you have cameras so that when we make this geofence, this circle around the map, basically, that we find out exactly who has the cameras. And then we say, hey, could you check your camera? Last night at 10 o'clock, we had a burglary down the street.
Right.
Can you check your camera? And we've actually been very successful in getting people to do that. Certainly businesses that are coming online. We had a good conversation with the school district. The superintendent, Keith Leonard, and I had a good conversation about, you know, the camera feeds that are at the schools, so that if we have to go to a school, that we can, you know, that we can see exactly what's going on in real time. We have the feed now. We're trying to improve that so that there's no downtime.
Well, and if there were, you know, shots fired or worried about, you know, a shooting on a campus, having those cameras and being have access to them, it would be invaluable in knowing where to go.
You know, when I was on patrol, we would get a call at a school, and it's like, okay, where exactly in the school? And the dispatcher, because you're going to go with the information that we get on the phone. We don't know if it's north, south, east, and west, northeast corner, and then there's so many portables and different. We don't know what room number is what.
Right.
And typically we'll get from an employee the room number. And I'm like, okay, we don't know where that is. I remember one time we got a call, and I know we're short for time, but we got a call at Baptist Hospital and said, we're in suite 63B. And no one knew where 63B was. It's not on floor 63.
Right.
It may be on sixth floor. So we're going all over the place. So in this situation, we also have schematics of the schools, that at least when they were built, so they can give us an idea for what if there's a school or a class number or a building number or complex number, then at least we know which one to go to. And like you said, we can get the information from dispatchers, but if we can see exactly
right.
The car that might be suspicious, we know exactly where to go to. Nothing beats a picture.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, and I was just thinking about one of the issues when the NAS terrorist attack mm-hmm. was knowing where to go on base and how, you know, it was how hairy that situation was.
If they hadn't have told us, and I know because I heard this.
Right,
already,
right.
If they hadn't have told us that it was next to the chapel, because almost everyone does know, everyone, at least people
right.
in my generation
right.
know where the NAS chapel is and the gym and that sort of thing. But all those buildings look alike to me. They're all red brick buildings, and you never know where exactly they are because we don't answer calls there. So you're not familiar with that area. But had it not been near the chapel, and if you watch the video that we put out every December the 6th, you can see that there are you know, law enforcement is kind of pointing
directing us
into the right building,
turned, right.
which certainly helped us
right.
help us out.
It really did. Now, you've got a big fundraiser coming up.
Yeah, our Skamby County Sheriff Foundation, which, again, only has two purposes, and that's to help us with engagement in our community and also the wellness of the employees themselves. And we have our what we call our signature fundraiser, and it's Cars, Cops, and Crawfish. It's at Five Flags Speedway, and it's April the 20th. It's going to be a car show. We're going to have a movie. We're going to show on our big video screen, and then we're going to have a crawfish boil, more or less. So Cubs Crawfish is going to be there supplying the crawfish. We have some games for some kids. It's from 10 o'clock to around 2 o'clock. Great. It was great last time. Last year it was the first one, and now it's, we're continuing to make it bigger and better. So we appreciate Cubs Crawfish. We appreciate Five Flags Speedway, and it's just going to be a great time. Hopefully the weather is nice. In April, you never know what you're going
right.
to get. But it's hopefully going to be a good time, and it's the biggest fundraiser that the foundation has. And, again, I just mentioned to you what the foundation does.
Well, and then this is sort of the beginning of y'all doing the movie nights. This is
yes.
This will be the summertime to do that, which is an important way to reach out to kids in the community too.
Yeah, the movie screen itself was a gift from the foundation to the sheriff's office and allows us to bring this big video screen to neighborhoods, to every neighborhood or any neighborhood, so that for a couple hours kids aren't worried about anything else but watching a movie. We'll get making popcorn, hamburgers and hot dogs, and all of that is supplied either through the foundation funds or from law enforcement trust fund dollars.
Well, and then the next big thing, you've got your new Blazer Academy starting too, and that's the foundation.
Exactly.
Foundation helps with that.
The foundation supports the funds from the foundation support the Blazer Academy, the men's Blazer Academy, and the young ladies Blazer Academy as well, which will have two men's and one female Blazer Academy this summer alone, and it's. Again, the stuff that the Skamby County Sheriff Foundation has done and not requiring us to use general fund dollars. So I can
right.
continue to have to filter the general fund dollars into the boots on the streets, the deputies out there and the you know, the environment that the law enforcement environment that, that the general fund dollars can support to the greatest effect.
Yeah, where did you get the idea for this? Because we didn't have a foundation before you took office.
We didn't. There were some foundations in South Florida. Some of the bigger, larger agencies in South Florida were using it, and I kept asking them the questions. I said, "Well, okay, so what do you do?" Because we still had the law enforcement trust fund. You can do some of those.
Yeah, some
things
of that lead money. Yes.
But those monies are going down so much because things have been tightened up a lot with what we can seize and what we can keep and what we can do with it. So I thought, you know, we could do that. We're big enough here. We have the support of the community, and that's the one thing that I thought. We have a very generous community, as you well know.
Right.
We're always giving to great endeavors, and so I thought let's try to do this with the sheriff's office, and that way we can support the deputies and we can do the engagement. I really can't think of two better things for a foundation to do, and we have zero paid staff. Every single dollar, every single dime that is collected goes directly towards those two initiatives. So I don't know that you can find another foundation of that size that they can say that. And so I'm very proud of it. I'm not disrespecting anything else.
But
I'm just telling you, these are volunteers. Everyone's volunteering for this. And obviously, we work with them like we would any other 501c3.
But you had a community board. You know, Whitney does a great job
as
president of it. She's got a great job to start it. And I think that it is a real – we're having – just looking this year already, you see that, you know, Impact 100 has hit a record level in what they've done. Rally Foundation for Cancer Research for Kids, you know, they had a record fundraiser for them. The community, the Bayer family gave to UWF for the College of Business.
Yeah.
This is a very philanthropic community.
Well, that's what makes a community great, right?
Right.
You go to some of these big cities and you know of like a hospital with a certain chance, and you got different things. You wonder, you know, who were these people that gave this money? And somewhere down the line, some great people come together. The Rockefellers and the Morgans, they came together and said, "Hey, let's make this good. Let's do what we should do with our money and make our community better." And it's kind of filtered down. And now, Escambia County has always been very generous. I've noticed, and so we're one. We've added to that. Our foundation has added to that. But again, we're wide open, transparent with what we do, and it makes. If you see the look on the kids' faces when they see the video screen turn on, you know, because they're just not expecting it in a park. And we did it last year at Escambia High School, and we did it at Century. So we bring this video and cameras to these areas, and just to see the kids' faces light up, because these are kids that don't travel much. They don't go to movies. They're not going all the way to the mall to watch a movie over there. All they've done is heard of these movies, you know, Toy Story and something. And so we're able to do – this is not first run, but we do buy the video, and then we get the rights to show the video in a public arena. And so it's just a wonderful way for us to share, you know, the sheriff's office with the community and then the community to engage with us.
Right. And it's taken off.
There are communities all over the place that wishes they had the engagement.
Right.
Opportunities and platforms that we have here in Escambia County.
Well, and it's big gifts, but it's little gifts too. I mean, that people will see the value of what's happening. And I think the Blazer Academy, which we'll ask Andy. He'll tell you it's the number one outreach program in the state.
It is a state program of the year, yes.
Yeah, you know, so it has done really, really well. So, Chip, thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it. We'll do it a couple weeks again.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, take care. We'll go ahead and break. We'll give you news, weather, and traffic. We'll be right back. Let me get everything potted up.